Now let's continue on. Let's come to the book of Proverbs, because there are some things here which show us what not to do and what we should do and how we're going to rule. So let's come to Proverbs 28 and verse 15. Now, these Proverbs are very true and important things to understand. Verse 15. Like a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the helpless people. Sound like some governments you know of today? Yeah, how about Venezuela? How about China? How about other countries where they're ruled by dictators? See, now we're going to have absolute authority, but we're going to have the blessing of people not having completely carnal, stubborn minds like they have today, as we found earlier in Ezekiel 36. But this is what is not going to be during the millennium. Now, verse 16. A ruler lacking understanding is also a great oppressor. The people are not going to be oppressed. They're going to be taught. They're going to be uplifted. They're going to be shown God's way, and we will be spirit beings to help them. Now, of course, we'll manifest ourselves in such a way that we're not going to come to them with all of the power and glory shining as the sun. But it's going to be quite a thing, isn't it? Think how the world is going to be completely different and how magnificent that is going to be. And here's the way it's going to be done. Proverbs 29 and verse 2. When the righteous are in authority. Now that's what we will be. We will be righteous. We will be spirit beings. We will have knowledge and understanding. We will have the character of God. All of that. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Now, you can apply that so well to so many different situations of government that it's an amazing thing how true that is. Now, let's come down here to verse 4. The king establishes the land by justice. Now, justice means righteous judgment. We'll have to make judgments and understanding and things like this to help people know how to live. It's going to be a great and marvelous thing, see. Everything that we are going through now to learn and grow and overcome is going to help us to be able to be the righteous in authority, so the people will rejoice. And there will be love between us and them, and between them and us. And it's going to be a wonderful and fantastic time. All right, let's come down here to verse 12. Now think about this as it is today. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. That is so true. You can see that in government. You can see that in any place where people have to have leadership or ruler or whatever it is, okay? And if he hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. Sound like the government of the United States and of whatever other country you live in? And isn't that what the problem is? Wicked rulers. Now, they don't think they're wicked. But they're conniving, they are stealing, they are working out things for their benefit rather than serving the people. All right. Verse 14. A king who faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? And are we going to faithfully judge the poor? Of course we are. And we are going to have justice and judgment and equity and knowledge and understanding, all of those things. Now, here's another one. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. Are we not going to have always before the people the goal? Now, vision means you have a goal, and you're working toward that goal. Now, what is the vision that we have? To attain the kingdom of God and eternal life. What is the vision that they are going to have? The exact same one. To attain to eternal life. So this is going to be something. Satan is bound at the beginning of the millennium. So he's not going to be around to inspire lots of sin. That doesn't mean there won't be some sin, but we'll figure out how to take care of that tomorrow. All right? Now, let's come to Isaiah 30. Now, here's how it's going to be. Isaiah 30. All right? Let's pick it up in verse 20. Now, during the millennium, it doesn't mean that there aren't going to be some trials and difficulties and tests for people to know and go through and understand and learn from there. Because we always learn from our mistakes. And we always learn from the things that are difficult to do. And so, of course, God is not going to take that away from them. That's a necessary experience to learn and know right from wrong, good from evil, what to do. Okay? Now, we will be there to help them, to teach them, and sometimes we'll be there and they won't even see us. Because as spirit beings, we can manifest ourselves to be seen, or we can disappear. Now think what that is going to do to help people have a good conscience. Okay? Isaiah 30, and let's pick it up here, okay, in verse 19. For all people who dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you. At the voice of your cry, when he hears it, he will answer you. That's going to apply to us in helping the people in the millennium. Quite a thing. They're going to pray. We're going to be there to answer it. All right? We're going to be there to help them. Now notice here it shows where there will be trials and difficulties even for them. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers shall not be removed into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Just like I said, you can appear, there you are. You're teaching them, you're training them, you're giving them the knowledge of everything they need to know so that they can attain to eternal life as well. Now, that's going to be a tremendous thing. See, because of the increase of his government and the increase of his kingdom, you can add the same thing to it. And the increase of God's purpose is it's going to continue all through the millennium and then the great white throne judgment. Isn't that amazing? We'll talk about that when we get to day 8. Okay. Now, notice verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. An amazing thing. Just think how much that's going to save a lot of problems and difficulties. Now, this means that they're really getting out of the way. Not small, little, minor difficulties that come along, which maybe they can help themselves by figuring it out themselves. But this is, if you're going to go against God, then it's not going to be allowed. Now, we're going to see what will happen tomorrow on that, how God is going to deal with those who sin. All right, now let's come to Isaiah 11. And it is absolutely true that Isaiah has more concerning the kingdom of God, along with the book of Psalms, than any other books in the Bible. Okay? Isaiah 11. Now, this is really going to be quite a thing when you understand it. Everything is going to be entirely different from what we know today. All right? Now, it's all going to be because Christ is going to be king over the earth. Verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, it comes, this is his first coming. Verse 2 is a combination of first and second coming. And verse 3, and going on, will be down in the millennium and how it's going to be. Everything's going to be the restoration of all things that we find in Acts, the third chapter, that Christ has gone to the heavens until the restoration of all things. And that doesn't mean they're going to be restored and then he comes. That means when he comes, it will be the restoration of all things. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. It's not going to be different than what it is with the rulers of the world today. The Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge according to the sight of his eyes, nor after the hearing of his ears. How is he going to judge? Well, he's going to judge righteous judgment. How is that going to be given? With the laws of God. And that's exactly what we are to do. Righteous judgment, truth and understanding, wisdom and knowledge, all together, so that it's going to bring an atmosphere of love and joy and production and work and understanding. Verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and shall reprove with equity the meek of the earth, showing that there's going to be mistakes and sins that come along. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Now that's projecting ahead to the lake of fire. But as you know, the book of Isaiah is a little here, a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept. And so, just like this, you have a verse that will be interjected there, which doesn't necessarily fit the context exactly in the same way, because this is part of another aspect that God is putting together with other scriptures. Verse 5, the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, I got an email from a woman who said, show me where it says the lion and the lamb. Well, it doesn't quite say it the way that it has been projected for many years. Isaiah brings a little different picture. The lion is there, but not with the lamb. What's with the lamb? Let's read it. Verse 6. Also the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The wolf. Isn't that interesting? Now, let's go back to what Jesus said about false prophets. They are what? Wolves in sheep's clothing. So here this is showing how the whole environment's going to be absolutely changed. No more plastic toys, but the real thing. And why is that good? Because the children will have to learn how to take care of them, and you can't treat them like a toy and pick it up and throw it out when you're mad, because it may snap back at you. And if it does, then you're going to learn a lesson. Don't do that. Okay? The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the cub lion. The calf and the lion, not the lion and the lamb. Interesting. And the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, what would you rather have? Would you rather have, how should we say, a lion cub as a toy, as a playmate? Or would you like this little plastic toy? Well, you know the children are going to be absolutely thrilled to have live animals instead of these plastic things that we have today. That doesn't mean that there won't be things like toys for building, small children's play houses and things like that. That'll be there. Okay. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, that is, together, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now, in all of this, that's hard to figure out. I don't know how a lion's going to eat straw. Is there going to be a change in the teeth of lions? I don't know. I mean, if you watch any of the documentaries of lions in Africa, they got a lot of teeth for tearing flesh and hide and bones and sinew and chewing those all up. Okay? And that makes me wonder, what about the hyena? Now, the hyena has the strongest bite of any animal and can literally break any bone and eat it. So how is all of this change of the environment going to be? You know, it's going to be something. Okay? I wonder if I don't think the lion's going to chew its cud like the cow, but nevertheless, verse 8, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. Now, an asp is an awful-looking snake, okay? Very deadly indeed, but now it won't be deadly. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Now, that's something. Think about how great that's going to be. Notice this. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So, let's understand something. Okay? If you have a Bible, hold it up. That contains all the knowledge of God that we have revealed to us today. This doesn't even cover a kitchen sink. So think how much knowledge and understanding that God is going to bring, that he's going to give to us to teach the people. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is going to be an amazing thing indeed. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, standing as a banner for the people. To him the nations shall seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now that's going to be something. And the rest is the millennium. That means peace. Okay, that's going to be quite a thing, isn't it? All right. Now, let's come to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. And let's see what we have here. This is quite a thing. This also tells us what we're going to do. This also tells us part of the things that are going to be taking place to restore everything the way that God wants it. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Verse 6. Isaiah 52 and verse 6. Therefore my people shall know my name, and thus it shall be in that day, for I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace. And that's what we're going to be doing. Who brings good news, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now, we covered part of that yesterday, didn't we? God reigns. And the voice of your watchmen shall be lifted up. They lift up the voice together. They sing aloud. They shall see eye to eye when the Lord returns to Zion. And this is going to be quite a fantastic thing. As the whole unfolding of the millennium and teaching of the people and learning of God and the knowledge of God and the truth of God and all of us together. Think of what it's going to be like every Sabbath when the Sabbath comes around. That is going to be a glorious thing indeed. And think what it's going to be like when all the feasts come around. That is going to be something. Now continuing in verse 8. The voice of your watchmen shall be lifted up. They lift up the voice together. They sing aloud, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord returns again to Zion. Break out, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. So that's quite a thing. All of that together. Think about how that's going to be. No more fighting, no more arguing, no more quarreling, no more bickering, no more bad government, no more lying and cheating and stealing by those who are in authority. And the law of God is going to be given, and it's going to be enforced, but it's going to be enforced not by saying, you shall do this, but because we will teach it to them, and they will want to do it, just like with us. We know it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it, but we keep it because not only God says so, and we understand that, but because we want to, because we know that God puts his spirit in that day, he teaches us through his word, and all of those things are part of the Sabbath day. And coming together to fellowship with each other, to love each other, to learn how to live our lives. And the human mind is such, we need the Sabbath every seventh day. That's why God gave it. And we're going to help bring that to everybody in the millennium. Now let's come back, just cross the page, turn the page, Isaiah 51. And here's going to be also part of it. Hearken to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Now that applies to us today, but it's going to apply to everyone in the millennium. Look to the rock from whence you were cut, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Resurrected, that's for us. Look to Abraham your father, to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and made him many. And of course, what role are they going to play in the millennium? God doesn't tell us, see. He gives us some idea of what it's going to be, but he doesn't tell us very many details. And for us to speculate what it would be would really be fruitful because we don't know what God has in mind or in store, okay? For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he shall make her wilderness like Eden. Her desert shall be like the garden of the Lord. Now think about that for a minute. When was the last time you saw a documentary on the desert? Now the desert is a barren waste place, yet there's still life out there. Even with the plunging of temperatures at night down near freezing and coming up to 120 plus degrees in the daytime, there's still life. Now, God is going to transform all of that. No more searing desert like we have today. You can take the Sahara Desert, the Gobi Desert. You can take the deserts in America. You can take the deserts in Australia, the deserts in China and Russia, No more deserts. That's going to be something. Now notice what's going to come because of that. Joy and gladness shall be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for instruction shall proceed from me, and I will make my justice in the sight, make my justice as a light to the people. And of course, let's understand this. Will we continue also to learn as spirit beings? Of course. Will we continue to have instruction from God? Yes, indeed. Now, verse 5. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone out, my arm shall judge the people, the isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall become like an old garment, and its inhabitants shall die in the same way, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. This sounds a little bit like the time when the lake of fire and all the wicked are cast in it, and then the lake of fire consumes the whole earth, and to prepare it for the coming New Jerusalem. Verse 8, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. And that's going to be quite a thing. Now, let's come and see some other things, how all of this is going to come about here. Let's come to, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 and verse 12, okay? Isaiah 58 and verse 12. And those who come of you shall build the old ruins. Now, he's talking to Israel that they're going to be having children and so forth. They're going to build the old ruins. And you can be guaranteed they're not going to build them like some of the things that they build. There will be no idols, there will be no statues, there will be no crosses, there will be no any of these things that are of pagan origin. And you shall raise up the foundation of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Then notice what's going to perpetuate this. The knowledge of God and the Sabbath. And this is what brings it out. Verse 13. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor pursuing your own desires, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourselves in yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the inheritance of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That is amazing. See? So through it all, everything that God has in his word is going to be magnified and glorified and expanded so that it's going to produce some tremendous things, because that's all a part of God's plan from before the ages of time. Now let's come to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. And here's what the economy is going to be like then. And remember, every seventh year will be what? A land Sabbath. Every 50th year will be a jubilee. Those will be followed. And look what God is going to give them. Okay? Verse 17. For bronze, I will bring gold. For iron, I will bring silver. For wood, I will bring bronze. For stones, iron, I will also make your overseers to be peace and your rulers to be righteousness. Now that's quite a thing. Think of what kind of society that is going to be developed into. All right? And furthermore, verse 18, violence will no more be heard in your land, neither wasting nor ruin within your borders, but you will be call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Think about that. I wonder, will there be any locks? I don't know. If everyone is righteous except those who sin once in a while, and there will be those who will do that, and there will be those who will do grievous sins as well. But will locks be necessary? Well, we'll have to find out. Now, verse 9, the sun will no more be your light by day. Now, that is not only referring to just the sun for light, but that's also referring to worshiping God. Nor the brightness of the moon shall give light to you, but the Lord will be to you for an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun will no more go down, nor your moon withdraw, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Your people also will all be righteous. They will inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hand, so that I may be glorified. And think about that. Everything we're going to be doing during the millennium is to glorify God in everything that he does. So this is going to be fantastic. Now notice verse 22. A smallest will become a thousand, and the least one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time, not before. Okay? Now, we'll finish here with Psalm 61, because this also shows part of what's going to be done during the millennium. All right? Let's pick it up here in verse 3. To appoint to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Again, how is that going to be for the millennium? That God is constantly glorified. Everyone understands that God is God. We are there to be teaching. We will be spirit beings. We will be the same as Jesus Christ in existence, but not in authority. And we will be helping the people accomplish this. All right? And they will build the old waste, and they will raise up the desolations of former times, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. So, that's going to be fantastic. And remember, when we get toward the end of the millennium, what are we doing? We are preparing the earth for all of those to be resurrected, as pictured by the last great day. Now, verse 5, and strangers will stand and feed your flocks, and the son of strangers will be your plowmen and your vineyards, but you shall be called the priest of the Lord. That's us. And it will be said of you, the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and you will boast in their glory. Okay? That's going to be something. All of that together. Now, verse 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. So we're going to have direction. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge them, that they are the seed the Lord has blessed. And so that's what we're going to be doing during the millennium. It's going to be a fantastic and productive and busy time. And we have just a barely a skeletal, as it were, outline of what it's going to be. So let's come back for day four tomorrow and continue on with the knowledge of the Feast of Tabernacles and what God wants us to learn and know and do.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.